This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9, 7:18 in the morning. In about half an hour, we'll be talking to Ben Sofian of the Medica Centre on their latest survey. And in the meantime, we're also running our own poll on Twitter at BFM Radio asking you, do you think that the current government is steering the country in the right direction? Only four options, yes, somewhat, no, and not sure. But in the meantime, let's talk about higher education. Because the ranking of Malaysia's top three universities remain unchanged from last year, according to the Times Higher Education Rankings, 2021 ranking CUM, University of Malaysia, in the 301 to 350 band, followed by University Tunku Abdul Rahman in the 501 to 600 band, and University Kebangsaan Malaysia in the 601 to 800 band.
That said, the ranking also saw the inclusion of two more universities from Malaysia, so University Kuala Lumpur and University Technical Malaysia Melaka, both in the 1,000 plus band, which makes it 15 in total. Now, the only ASEAN country to make it into the top 200 ranking is Singapore, with NUS, National University of Singapore, at 25th place, and Nanyang Technological University at 47th place. Now, overall, Times Higher Education World University Ranking takes into account over 1,500 universities over 93 countries and regions.
So to analyse these rankings and to get further into the higher education phenomenon, we've got on the line with us Professor Mohamad Tajuddin Rasti, Professor of Architecture at UCSI University, and also being a socio-political commentator. Prof, thank you for joining us. Now, what do you think of these rankings, and what is your sense of Malaysia's higher education at this current time?
Hello, Professor? Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Prof, I'm sure you would have seen the rankings.
Yeah.
What is your sense of Malaysia's higher education levels at this point in time?
Well, when if you are talking about the so-called quality of the public university, I'm not sure there was anything good to begin with regard to before the pandemic or after the pandemic. I thought that was the question, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, yes, it is. But I think overall, and on a more macro basis, I mean, Malaysia's top university is only 300 places, 300th ranked and above, not moving at all from previous years. I think it's the trend line which is more worrisome. What is your sense of that particular trend line?
Well, I think if you were to look at rankings in that regard, you might want to consider that one of the main functions of the university is contributing to society. And if you were just to look at the number crunching about papers or students and things like that, I think that would be showing up in one sense. I would prefer to look at the role of university as producing graduates which are more aware of society and being more enlightened about a lot of issues, rather than the number crunchings as well as academics who write papers that would help to develop the society. But many of these situations sometimes doesn't go into the ranking. For instance, when I submitted 9 books written, published by Dewan Bahasa, it's not included in some ranking, the QS ranking. And I said, why? Well, they said, because, Prof, you wrote in Bahasa Malaysia. And I said, well, I'm writing so that the Malaysian people can actually do something about the issues that I have raised. So that is how I see the sense of ranking in relation to role of university rather than just number crunching.
So am I correct to say, Professor, you think these Times surveys aren't necessarily reflective of the quality of education? But nonetheless, we have gaps in our Malaysian system, right? What do you think those main gaps are, and how can we improve it?
Well, I think the most important thing that we have to ask with regard to public, when you're talking about public university, especially when you're talking about public university funded by the people's money, is, as I said just now, what is its primary role? Now, many people say, oh, it's just to give my son or daughter a degree in architecture or engineering. But academics go further than that. They are supposed to be at the boundary of knowledge. And what is the purpose of knowledge, if not for the betterment of society? But what I see happening in public universities and generally in academia is that knowledge seems to be self-serving. meaning itself, it serves only the academics as well as the university itself for some gratification. But it does not spill over into society. And you can see a lot of the Islamic issues being discussed. And the level of discussion is so low and narrow. But we have two so-called Islamic universities in this country. I don't see the spillover from these institutions into society.
Yeah, Prof, 3 days ago you wrote a newspaper column suggesting that education should be restructured in Malaysia to reflect the entire collective of 39 ethnicities in the country, as opposed to being serving a fragmented group. What did you mean by that specifically?
Well, if you look at the history books, geography books that have been written, I call it what I call you deconstructing knowledge in one sense. For instance, in history, if you specifically focus only on certain political parties and their roles and things like that, then you're not encouraging the knowledge about people. I mean, you have to live with people. You don't really have to live with books. Okay, and so if you do not know people, these 39 ethnic or 40 ethnic groups in this country, then you're going to have conflicts, definitely, whether about religion, about race, religion, and economy. You look at the geography that we teach to our students. We only teach about how many tonnage the oil palm that we produce and how many ringgits of this and that and this product going here and there. But where are the people who are actually involved in this economy? And how does it become sustainable to the specific groups of people? Then we can see that, look, it requires our whole society to move the economy. But here it seems like you're just punching in data with numbers without the relevance of people's life, race cultures, as well as the values of people. And I think this is a mistake.
Prof, some would say that some would suggest that the lack of academic freedom and autonomy has played a critical role in seeing the education sector in Malaysia remain stagnant for years. We've seen how far behind we are from Singapore, for example. Do you think there is any way forward in terms of trying to restructure on a material basis the education sector in Malaysia?
I have always said that academic freedom was not really an issue in Malaysia, although we have the ACTA University, the AUKU. But the point here is that when Mazli Malik became Minister of Education, he put it on priority to eliminate the ACTA University. So for 22 months, we had what you could describe as pure academic freedom. What did the public university do with that freedom? Well, I didn't see anything much except for some nice forums from University of Malaya. But the other universities didn't do that. And the best they did was the Congress Maruah Melayu. And so you can see that academic freedom is not an issue, but the attitude of academia in relation to its role as nation builders. What they are looking at is simply to serve one particular group of people, and that is the saddest thing that has happened in my entire career of being an academic.
All right, Prof. Thanks for your opinions and thoughts. We were talking to Professor Mohamed Tajuddin Rasti, Professor of Architecture at UCSI University and a socio-political commentator. Now, interesting points of view from the good professor, and I think that's right in pointing out that I think there is some academic freedom in Malaysia, but you know, we've been coloured, I think, in some degree by the political structure and the necessities that have arisen because of that.
Yeah, but I think his point is also he says, you know, don't put so much emphasis on these education world ranking surveys, right, because they don't necessarily mean that the education system is the best or the worst. But I think we can't ignore them because they are global performance tables that kind of give us an indication of where our universities rank against the world, because there's no point just looking at ourselves, but we need to compare ourselves with everybody else in the region. And if we are stagnant, maybe there are questions to be asked, because maybe we aren't, because we know from the Time survey there are five criteria, which is the teaching, research, citations, international outlook, and industry income, which is knowledge transfer. We have to make strides and improvements in all these things every year, you know. Otherwise, are we doing a service to our students then?
I think that's the correct answer, the correct question, because it really is a case of our children are the country's future, if we don't produce good quality, employable graduates that enable the economy to take several steps up the ladder, then what position Malaysia in the future? Because that is what makes the economy, right? We need people, we need high-quality candidates to fill the best positions in industry. Okay, it is 29 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this with a 7:30 news bulletin, and then after that, more news and analysis, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.